answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Mr. Fair, did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources attend extremist rallies across the country?
Mr. Chairman.
It's a simple question. Did you use your donor money for that purpose?
We used donor money.
So yes or no?
To pay confidential informants to infiltrate extremist organizations.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources host extremist rallies throughout the country?
Not to my knowledge.
That's not what the indictment says. Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources grow existing chapters of extremist groups?
Mr. Chairman, as
it's
I said
a simple
earlier,
question, Mr. Fair. Did you use donor money for the purpose I just read? This I'm reading straight from the superseding indictment.
And Mr. Chairman, the indictment will be managed and responded to by counsel in the criminal case that's
pending.
Well,
you just answered a question from Mr. Raskin concerning the indictment. He asked you, did field sources send information to the FBI that help with things? You answered that question.
That's a matter of public knowledge.
That's in our public filing.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources create new chapters of extremist groups?
That is what you're going to hear as we continue through this first segment. Congressman Jordan and others questioning the CEO and acting president of the Southern Poverty Law Center. All of this is based upon the Department of Justice the other day indicting the Southern Poverty Law Center on federal fraud and money laundering charges, basically taking donors' money meant to fight racism and things of that nature, particularly racism, and funding racist activities. In fact, while he says he cannot comment on the acting and current the law and the violation charge, the CEO did concede that, yes, we did use donor money to pay informants. So they were giving money to members of the Klan. Those were their informants. But he doesn't want to go beyond that. And there are a lot of allegations as to how the Southern Poverty Law Center was raking in money, supposedly to fight against racism and fight for equality, when in fact it was weaponized and in fact used to take their donor money even to buy the lumber and fuel to burn crosses. We're going to get into it in more detail. Welcome to hour number one, Larry Connors USA. We're here for you every Monday through Friday from 6 to 8 p.m. Isn't this a great time? We're celebrating our 250th anniversary as a nation coming up. And we're about ready to celebrate 5 years of Newstalk STL on the air. And I'm more than honored to be part of the program with all the rest of the guys here. And with Larry Connors USA, let me remind you again. You're always going to get news, analysis, opinion, and education. You leave each hour with more information than you have right now. I promise you. And reminding you, when we're on the air, like right now, you can watch us. You can go to Newstalk STL Rumble, Larry Connors USA Rumble. And everything goes up as a podcast later. Available at Newstalk STL, LarryConnorsUSA.com, Larry Connors USA Facebook. So in case you have to break away and you cannot stay with us for the entire 2 hours, you can always pull it up later. And when you do, ask one question, or one favor, I should say. Please share it with others. You are our multiplying factor, and many of you are doing that, and I thank you immensely. Let me give you a preview of what's to come. In our next hour, we have an Islamist running for mayor in the Dallas-Fort Worth area that claims, "I hate American troops, I hate America." And he's running for to be a mayor of one of the top 30 cities in Texas. And also Louisiana Senator John Kennedy pointing out again, if it weren't for poor and bad and lying standards, we'd have no standards at all in our nation's capital. You're going to love that. Also going to run down several stories regarding fraud, using your money. Part of that will also surface in this segment. Now, later this hour, Dick's Sporting Goods is holding its shareholders meeting tomorrow. You're going to hear from a group that's questioning, how can Dick's Sporting Goods claim that we're all about girls in sports, basically supporting Title IX, and turn right around and endorse those who want to put transgenders into sports? That's coming up before we wrap up in this hour and before we conclude this hour. Our normal feature for the 6 o'clock hour, the story behind the story. D-Day was June 6th. That was Sunday. Of course, we were not on the air. And I had other things on the schedule for tomorrow, yesterday, so we're doing it today. That is stories from World War II, and one of them you may never have heard of before. What General Eisenhower wrote in advance of the invasion, and hoping he never had to use his words that he wrote. That's our story behind the story, coming up later. In the meantime, back to the congressional hearing taking place right now with Chairman Jim Jordan questioning the current president, acting president of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to recruit new individuals into those extremist groups?
I assume you don't want me to answer since you're not giving me time to answer.
No, I'm giving you time to answer because that's a yes. Did you use your donors' money for that purpose, yes or no?
Again, those issues will be resolved in the pending allegations against the SPLC.
Well, it seems to me if the answer is no, you could say no.
We have asserted that the allegations are false.
Did the Southern Poverty Law Center use donor money to have field sources make donations to extremist group leaders and purchase materials for cross burnings? It's alleged in the indictment. Did it happen?
We've alleged that those allegations are false.
Did Southern Poverty Law Center use donor dollars to have field sources create racist paraphernalia that extremist groups sold at rallies?
We've alleged that those allegations are false.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. What they're alleging, obviously. And let's give some credit here to the president, acting president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, the CEO. He is right to say, look, we will answer all that in our actual court case. It's a legitimate response. And yes, you can say Jim Jordan is just trying to prod him a little bit. That's okay. It makes, obviously, for good entertaining, but do we actually get to the fire below the smoke? The fact that the DOJ did indict the Southern Poverty Center on federal fraud and laundering charges is much, much deeper and much bigger than the questioning going on inside the halls of Congress, and yet they're valid and legitimate. You know who Dr. Alveda King is? She is a former state representative for the 28th District of the Georgia House of Representatives. More importantly, she is the niece of civil rights leader Martin Luther King Jr. And it's her belief that the Southern Poverty Law Center was indeed involved in fraud.
So do you pay the same people to do the bomb and then go and comfort the people from being bombed? You pay the same people to do both jobs? That's kind of fraud to me. That's weird and chaotic and confusing.
Well, Dr. King, I don't think there's any allegation that anybody who was working with the Southern Poverty Law Center bombed anyone. Do you have information to that effect?
Because I don't personally, but outside agitators did bomb our house in 63 and then ran back and took off the Ku Klux Klan sheets and put on police things and ran up in the yard.
Well,
it
that's
was the same people. It was crazy.
I'm with you, and that's a statement about the racism of that police force working with the Ku Klux Klan.
Hey, y'all pay both of them to do the double jobs, SPLC does. Really. You hire them to do the bombing, then
you're
hire
asserting
them to
a lot
fix
of things.
The bombing? That's weird.
Dr. King, you're asserting a lot of things under oath, and you haven't brought the evidence with you. So I think
I'll get some for you.
Okay, please, bring us the evidence, and I'll yield back.
Now, let me point out to you, she was one of the witnesses called. She was not on the panel making the questions from the congressional committee, but she was one of the witnesses called, and she's speaking directly to the acting president of the Southern Poverty Law Center, saying it's weird, you're paying both sides. That would be fraud. Oh, absolutely. And money laundering, absolutely, in my view. Texas Congressman Roy with the acting president of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Focus on the Family is now noted as a hate group.
Mr. Roy.
Can you explain that?
Congressman Roy, we take no pleasure in listing any group, and we wish the list was empty. But we have the constitutional right to express our
opinion. How many leftist anti-Jewish groups do you have listed on your website?
Good question.
We...
Name them.
Anyone listening to this can go to our website and see our Year in Hate and Extremism report was released this morning.
How many extremist Islamic groups do you have of the 1,500 or so organizations you have on your hate map?
Another good question.
Again, anyone can go to our website.
My office has been looking over and can't really find one.
Again, it is the SPLC's.
You think right. SPLC can provide us a list of the Islamic-oriented groups that you have on your hate map?
Mr. Roy, we don't target any group because of its religion.
Really?
I want to be clear about that.
Really?
Yes, that's exactly right. We target no group because of its religion. We target groups because they express statements and engage in activities that demean and vilify.
So you brought up LGBT groups a minute ago. So you think there's a bunch of Islamic groups that are pro-LGBTQ? The position of the SPLC? I just want to make sure the record is reflecting that.
Mr. Roy, as I said, we target no group or label no group because of its religion. We target groups and label groups because of what they say about others.
He is walking through a minefield, is he not? And you heard the laughter in the back. So are you suggesting that the Islamic groups which hate LGBTQ, you're not putting them on there? You think they love them? You know they don't. They hate homosexual activity. They throw them off the highest building. And if they survive, they stone them to death. Once again, to Congressman Jordan with a very direct question.
Did you do it all for the money? I mean, you said now, I think the Southern Poverty Law Center said you're no longer going to use these field sources. You're going to stop the program. But you did it for multiple years. And according to the indictment, it was $4 million that you shelled out to these various field sources to engage in all the activities I just read. Was it all about the money?
As we said in our public statement, Chairman Jordan, we did it to protect our staff and to protect the public.
Did fundraising increase after paying people to stay in these groups who actually wanted out of them? Did your fundraising increase? Did the donations coming in increase?
Chairman Jordan, I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to when you say...
How about this? After the crazy Charlottesville rally, did fundraising go up?
Mr. Chairman, our fundraising went up.
Fundraising where one of your field sources helped coordinate transportation.
Our fundraising went up when President Donald Trump was elected.
Aha, aha. There you have it. The L.A. mayor's race is down to two Democrats. Republican Pratt failed to hold his lead, if you believe the numbers as they were reported.
This morning, a week after California's primary day, reality TV star Spencer Pratt's insurgent campaign for L.A. mayor has officially run its course. NBC News projecting progressive city councilwoman Nithya Raman, who had been steadily gaining ground on the conservative political outsider, will now advance to the fall runoff against incumbent Democratic Mayor Karen Bass. The results, a bitter disappointment for Pratt's supporters after his election night high when results showed him in second place last week.
I didn't know I'd be here tonight, but it's obviously God's plan.
The race drawing national attention with some top Republicans without evidence claiming voter fraud, including President Trump posting on True Social, not possible for Spencer Pratt to have lost the LA runoffs after the big lead he had, rigged elections. But California's election process often slower than other states. More than 80% in this race voting by mail, and those ballots are counted so long as they're postmarked by Election Day. The nonpartisan official in charge pushing back on fraud claims.
This is how the voting process is structured in California, based on giving voters multiple options and a long time period for when to cast their ballots.
Yeah, given the long time period. Let me put this out to you. There were 2,000 plus remaining eligible voters. Ballot distribution, 3 million plus out there. So there are about 1 million plus supposedly coming in by mail. Investigative reporter Nick Shirley says, you know, you look through some of these ballot lists, you find a case, as I did, of a 126-year-old woman.
So how old is this person who's eligible to vote here inside the United States, inside the state of California?
126, based on the Secretary of State.
And this is Doris.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see if Doris is home. Are you Doris?
She's right here. Yes.
Hello, Doris.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
We're just going through the voting rolls here, and we're just confirming anybody who's above the age of 100 years old. And right here it says you're 126 years old.
No, you got the wrong house.
That's a lie.
Are you Doris?
Yeah, but you got the wrong house. I'm Doris, but you got the wrong place. That's the wrong information, all that stuff. No, no, that's wrong.
Oh, here, I can show you if you like.
No, it's just that it's wrong.
How come you think here in California they're just messing up on all these voting rolls here?
I don't know, because I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it says you voted in 51 elections, Doris.
No, not me.
Really?
I'm not no 107 years old.
I know.
I
just want to make sure you're not 126 years old.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, it really does say you're 126 years old here.
No. Says, Who did this be 126? That don't even make sense.
I know. That's what the Secretary of State says.
Well, the Secretary of State is wrong.
Okay, well.
Put it like this. I was born in 1940. So you figure that out.
All right, Doris. You have a good evening.
You have a good evening, Doris. You know, Justice Alito has said, I think we should go back to one-day voting. That's what the Constitution says. But keep in mind, that is for federal elections, and not state elections, city, county. And I don't want the federal government dictating how the states run their elections, as long as they're lawful. You know where the numbers stand right now? And these are the numbers as I see them now. They could change, obviously. Karen Bass, incumbent, got 34%. It's a jungle primary. The top two candidates go forward in this particular race. Rahman, who was trailing behind Pratt, suddenly jumped to 29% of the vote. And Pratt, the Republican, at 26%. The vote count difference is about 20,000. Now, that's a pretty good size number. But even Lawrence O'Donnell, NBC Now, the pompous arch that he is, says, Kamala Harris won attorney general in California when she ran by 1% of the vote. Did she really win? Well, that's history. Coming up, Dick's Sporting Goods shareholders meeting. Do they still include girls? And our story behind the story, a message General Dwight Eisenhower hoped to never send. Lock and load, ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Another day, must be another roofer in town. And John Beal and I were talking. He said, you know, every time you turn around, there's a new roofing company. Many of them have no idea what they're doing. And the statistics show that many will be out of business within 2 to 5 years. Who are you going to call to help you then? You need to remember only one name, John Beal. John Beal Roofing. You have a problem, he can take care of it. And we'll be here for you. John Beal Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Spring weather has everyone sneezing, even inside their home or building. Instead of saying gazoon's height, call Wellington Environmental to perform air tests to determine if mold levels are too high. Gesund Heit is the same as saying bless you after someone sneezes, the German word meaning wishing you good health. Wellington Environmental can perform air testing that is simple, fast, and can identify issues keeping you from having good health. Wellington does the same for hospitals and nursing homes for indoor concerns. Give them a call. It's simple. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Tell Cindy, I need air sampling. They've seen it all. They can help you. Next time you hear Gesundheit, think Wellington. Wellington Environmental. Be well with Wellington. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of high. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So tomorrow, I don't know if you plan on attending or if you even own any stock in Dick's Sporting Goods, but they're having their shareholders meeting. Well, a representative of the National Center for Public Policy Research's Free Enterprise Project says we need clarification what Dick's Sporting Goods actually believes in when it comes to girls in sports, girls only. And joining us to break that story down and give us his view and the question he's going to be pushing against in the shareholders meeting is the federal policy, or rather the public policy research senior advisor, Curtis Hill. Curtis, glad to have you on board with us.
Great to be here, Larry. Thank you.
So Dick is suggesting, Dick's I should say, is suggesting we will fight to champion women and address their concerns and needs. What's missing there?
Well, what's missing is their true commitment to women's sports and athletics through the Title IX. They say that they'll champion women's sports, but at the same time, they also are aligned with organizations that prioritize biological males who identify as females. And what we shareholders need to understand is what's the distinction? How do you do both? And we don't believe that you can do both. You can either champion biological women or you can champion biological men who identify as women, but you can't do both.
Well, I would agree that you can't do both, but they are in effect then talking out both sides of their mouth because they have partnered with the Gay, Lesbian, and Straight Education Network. And Catalyst, an organization, both of those apparently advancing policy, prioritizing males identifying as females over actual females.
And what they do by doing so is put the reputational image of Dick's Sporting Goods in harm's way. Shareholders are interested in Dick's Sporting Goods selling sporting goods and making a profit, yeah. not about Dick's having a social engineering agenda.
And That is true, but we have a lot of organizations, Disney and others, their first responsibility you think would be the shareholders to deliver the highest dollar, but they're either being hijacked or captive or fearful of the woke, so they try to play both sides.
That's exactly right. They're trying to play both sides. They're trying to pretend that they have these interests at heart when it's just a virtual signaling that's being done by most many corporations. And so what we do at the National Center for companies in which we own stock is we raise the issue at shareholder meetings to make sure that the shareholders understand and ask the proper questions so that we can get these policies changed, because it is impacting the bottom line.
Well, to that extent, speaking about the stock, it's a $214 plus change right now, up $32 from a year ago. So it suggests that Dix is doing well for the shareholders. So does that give them permission to play both sides of the aisle here?
Well, could they be doing better is the question. The shareholders need to have, the shareholders need to be informed, properly informed. Does Dix actually understand what women are, as defined as adult females, and making sure that they continue to maintain their commitment to females in sports? That's what they say they've done. They engage in sporting activities. We're simply making sure that the shareholders have an opportunity to be heard, that Dix takes up their management responsibilities seriously and properly defines this particular category.
You're listening to the National Center for Public Policy Research Free Enterprise Project spokesman and senior advisor Curtis Hill. But what we're discussing with Dick's Sporting Goods applies to companies all across the nation. That you agree?
Oh, absolutely. We have a number of companies that we've addressed these issues with. Ford Motor Company, Best Buy, a host of companies that are doing the same thing. And they're doing it because of the political pressure that they sense. What's happening is you're starting to see companies that engage in these DEI programs backing away because of some of the policies coming from Washington, D.C. The executive branch has made it clear that they will, through the Justice Department, start taking actions against companies that discriminate on these bases. So it's imperative that we get to these companies and tell them to do the right thing so that they can look out for the interests of their shareholders and profits, as opposed to sending out signals that they're politically correct and exposing their companies to potential discrimination lawsuits.
Well, I'm not going to take anything away from what the National Center for Public Policy Research has done, but how much is it also affected by the fact that Donald J. Trump is president and we're turning the ship around and moving away from all the wokeism?
Well, the National Center has been engaged in this process for several years of doing shareholder activism in this regard, but it certainly helps that the president and the Justice Department have taken it up seriously and provided an additional stick towards these corporations for the possible threat of a lawsuit. It's absolutely vital.
Again, we're talking to the Free Enterprise Project Senior Advisor, Curtis Hill. You're introducing an item four. What exactly is item four you want the shareholders to consider?
We want the shareholders to consider item four, which is to assess a report as to whether Dick's management understands the true definition of women, which is female adults, and the conflicting role of supporting biological males who identify as women and providing the shareholders with the ability to understand that there's been a proper assessment of those definitions, and that Dix is doing all that it can to avoid responsibility for lawsuits, reputational harm, and other matters pertaining to the misclassification of women.
And again, it's called the Request for Report on Women's Rights Related Business Risk and Decision Framework. And to define it more for the audience, as you guys have presented it, you want to assess whether business decisions at Dick's Sporting Goods involving transgenderism have been fully informed by both, one, definition of a woman that limits the word to adult females, two, the risk to females stemming from having males who claim to be females forcibly inserted into women and girls' private spaces and sports under the guise of transgender rights, and basically protecting the real spirit of Title IX, protect biological females.
We have a clear conflict between those two aspects, between protecting women and encouraging males who are identifying as women. You can't have both of those scenarios and be credible. And so we're asking Dick's Sporting Goods to be responsible to their shareholders to make sure that they have properly defined what women are, so that when they're out protecting women, we know we know who they're talking about.
All right. Now, you're going to have the meeting tomorrow. I think you're addressing them around 4 o'clock or so. Is that right, in the shareholders meeting?
Correct.
Okay. Now, you told us that you've done the same thing with other companies. I believe you named Best Buy and others. You've addressed their shareholders on the same principles. What reaction, what vote up or down did you get?
Well, what typically happens is that at the board level attempts to reject our proposals and encourage shareholders to vote against it. They typically take the position that they have done adequate responses to our request, that they have adequate protections in place, which we find to be not the case.
Yeah.
We are also seeing a number of companies that are getting away from the formal DEI standards in their titles. They're changing their names,
right,
but they're still engaging in their activities. And so we're very much gearing up to make sure that we're continuing to place pressure on corporations to be truthful about their processes and doing all that we can to make sure that the shareholders are being properly notified as to what's going on in these companies.
So they can relabel DEI as rat poison and sell that's acceptable.
A rose by any other name. I mean, that's exactly what they're doing.
Well, I wish you well
with it. It stinks.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I said, if it stinks, it stinks.
Damn right it does. And you point out that these policies are not harmless. Now, Dick's Sporting Goods has already obviously lost some customer support. Can you drive the nail into the coffin tomorrow?
Well, it's certainly not our purpose to harm Dick's in any way. We're shareholders in the company. We want to see them succeed. We want to see them maximize profits. And so our objective is to get them to understand that this is bad for the company and bad for business and bad for shareholder profitability. We want to make sure that the process of supporting women's sports, of encouraging women in athletics is a priority that Dick's has. And we don't want them to do anything that would place any type of burden on that process.
All right, Curtis, I want to thank you very much for your time helping us understand. And we'll be watching to see what comes out of the Dick's. You don't expect an up or down vote on this one way or the other in the last 10 seconds here, do you?
Well, we expect a vote. Typically, the Dick's board will oppose it, and so it's an uphill climb for sure. But that's why we keep at it.
Keep climbing. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you, sir.
You bet. And in fact, the executive director of the group says the bottom line is just sell sporting goods. That's what people want. Amen. 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 We're slowly, slowly turning the page, but it takes a long time to get rid of that DEI, even if it is labeled rat poison. The story behind the story, still to come.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
I want to share something with you. Cooking a pizza using coal creates an amazing pizza. Only one place to get it, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield. Of course, they offer a wide variety of pasta, but you just visit the website NapoliSTL.com, dine in or take out, and get ready for patio season. Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Try it. You can thank me later. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check vincentsjewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. VincentsJewelers.com. VincentsJewelers.com. True comfort is something you should feel every day in your home. It's the quiet of your mornings, the consistency of your indoor temperature, the way your home feels season after season. With Renewal by Anderson, from consultation through installation, everything is handled by one experienced team, built around your home, your schedule. Our exclusive Fibrex material, stronger than vinyl, built for extreme temperatures. And right now, you can save 20% off your entire project. Plus, take an additional $100 off every window and door, up to $1,000. 20% off the entire project. Flexible financing is available, but you need to call by April 30th. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. 877-WINDOWS. RenewalByAnderson.com. When insurance companies know you're represented by Under Law, they know Under is not going to let you be pushed around. Their reputation is built on years of courtroom battles. If you suffer an injury or damage to your property, serve the insurance company notice. You have Under Law on your side, a St. Louis firm you can trust to protect you at every term. Don't settle for less. You want to win? Believe me, Under wins. Under, O-N-D-R, underlaw.com.
This is News Talk STL.
Now this nation that I love is falling under attack. A mighty sucker punch came flying in from somewhere in the back. Soon as we could see clearly through our big black eye, man, we lit up your world like the 4th of July. Uncle Sam put your name at the top of his list, and the Statue of Liberty started shaking her fist, and an eagle will fly, and it's gonna be here when you hear Mother Freedom start ringing her bell, and it'll feel like the whole
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, Larry Connors with the story behind the story.
It was very crowded, the cold. Guys were seasick.
Ray Lambert was in the front of a cramped Higgins boat as it approached the shores of Normandy on June 6, 1944.
The weather was terrible.
Just a miserable day.
He was 23 years old, a hardscrabble country boy from Alabama turned Army medic. He and his brother Bill enlisted in the war, and both were heading to Omaha. They talked just before the landing crafts launched.
We were both married, and we agreed that if anything happened to either one of us, that the other one would take care of our wife. And I had a son that I'd never seen.
The greatest sea-land duel in history.
The horror of that day began well before Lambert's boat reached the shore. He could hear the bullets.
As we got in close enough, we could see dead guys on the beach.
It is an infantryman's nightmare.
Lambert took a bullet through the elbow just as the landing craft's ramp opened to deposit the men. He didn't stop.
There was a guy just to my right that was obviously drowning. He had all his equipment on. That was the first person that I helped.
Lambert saved at least 15 men on D-Day, pulling many of them to shore and seeking shelter behind a large rock.
How did you keep going?
You really didn't have a choice there. You either drown or you move forward.
Yeah. Brave young men, 23 years old. And a lot of men, our troops died because the ships got hung up, or I should say the landing boats got hung up on coral reefs. And when they jumped off, they were in water above their head, loaded down with all their equipment. Last Sunday was D-Day, Operation Overlord, June 6th. Since we weren't on the air then, I wanted to make sure we did pay tribute to June 4 this week. And yesterday, our story behind the story focused on the crash that killed Missouri Governor Carnahan. That was already in planning, so I wanted to move the honor and recognition of D-Day to today. And there's some stories behind a lot of what you've seen and heard that I want to share with you. Now, the piece you were listening to is part of a piece by CBS. I have here in front of me a couple other pieces. My boots on the ground, Andrew in Chicago, sent these to me. One is from the Voices of World War II publication. And it's talking about that a pilot running out of fuel made a decision that won the Pacific War. Again, I'm reading. Most Americans had never heard his name. 6 months after Pearl Harbor, Japan's Navy is undefeated for the carriers that burned Pearl Harbor, or that took part in Pearl, are now steaming toward Midway to finish off the U.S. Pacific Fleet. That morning, Wade McCluskey launches from the USS Enterprise. Jack Taylor, the founder of Enterprise Leasing, was also a carrier pilot, and when he founded his company, he named it after the carrier he flew from, the Enterprise. In this case, McCluskey is a fighter pilot, but in this case now he's trying to fly a group of bombers in search of those in the water, boats and subs if he can. D-Day was the landing of our amphibious group, and of course we had to battle on the ground, we had to battle on top of the water, under the water, and in the air. He gets to the point where they're supposed to find the destroyer they're trying to find, and they don't see it, but he does see a white scar across the ocean. It had depth charged an American submarine, the Nautilus, at that point. And by trying to do so, it gave away its position. So they decided to take everything they had and go after that Japanese destroyer. One survivor of the planes had been shot down, watched what came next, hiding under a seat cushion in the water. He said those doomed pilots dragged every Japanese fighter down to the waves. McCluskey pushing over 14,500 feet, trying to shoot down the ships and the planes coming at him. He's running out of fuel, desperately. But within 6 minutes, he and his other attack group sunk three of the carriers that hit Pearl Harbor. And his gamble was real, very real. Many of the Enterprise bombers never made it home, got shot down into the sea. Either that or their tanks ran dry. McCluskey was jumped by two Zeros on the way back, taking five bullets through his shoulder, and still flew back to the Enterprise. Admiral Nimitz said that decision, and I'm quoting as it's written here, Admiral Nimitz said that the decision by McCluskey, quote, decided the fate of our carrier task force and our forces at Midway. It is clear that Japan never won another major battle. So as the article concludes, again, this is from the Stories or Voices of World War II. One borrowed pilot taking out of his fighter jet to lead these bombers. One destroyer's wake. One choice to keep flying when every gauge said go home. That backs up Admiral Nimitz's remark. His decision decided the fate of our carrier task force and our forces at Midway. And then, of course, you still have the reports coming from Operation Overlord as our troops tried to storm ashore.
When we hit the beach, we knew there was no doubt in our mind that we had to take that beach. Things like we went through are just things you don't forget. I mean, it's impossible.
Well, when the war broke out, I was still in high school. I was 16 years old. I didn't think the war would last 6 months, really, when I first heard about it. 2 years later, I had graduated from high school and went to an aircraft school to take the same schooling that the Army Air Corps men did. And I went down there trying to get in the Air Force, and I was drafted in the Army. The day before you used to ship out, If you got ODs, you're going to the Atlantic side. If you got khakis, you're going to the Pacific side. They didn't have to tell you when you went through there and they started issuing those clothing. You knew where you was going. And we didn't want to go to the Pacific, so we lucked out in that respect of going to the European theater.
His name is Harold McMarin. Again, that is from a production titled World War II History. So he was glad to get that he was going to be to the European theater getting khakis. But he did not know it would involve that assault on D-Day, June 6th, under Operation Overlord, code word. This was not just a major risky mission. It was much more than that. We have lives at stake, young men who had either been drafted or joined because of Pearl Harbor. And going ashore was not simply stepping across into the water and onto the beach, assuming you hit land when you stepped out and assuming you could survive the assault from the machine guns trying to cut you down. General Eisenhower had drafted a message to be released in case all of this failed. So yes, there is more to the story behind the story.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Do you know why I endorse Cafe Napoli? All the locations? Visit any of them and you will quickly appreciate the quality of food, service, atmosphere. So maybe I'll see you at Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Napoli Kirkwood, Napoli 2 in Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, right next door to Napoli C. Or maybe you'll find me at Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in the Chesterfield Valley. Now you know why I endorse Napoli. NapoliSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Now, the end of the story behind the story.
General Dwight D. Eisenhower spent months planning for D-Day, the largest amphibious invasion in human history, on June 6, 1944. While projecting confidence that the Allied landing would succeed, he crafted a short message to release if Hitler's forces prevailed. Our landings in the Cherbourg-Havre area have failed to gain a satisfactory foothold, and I have withdrawn the troops. My decision to attack at this time and place was based on the best information available. The troops, the air, and the Navy did all that bravery and devotion to duty could do. If any blame or fault attaches to the attempt, it is mine alone. Though it was not needed, given the successful Normandy landings, the letter demonstrated Eisenhower's leadership, his willingness to take risks, and, in case of failure, to accept responsibility.
That is the executive director of the Jamestown Rediscovery Foundation, former director of the Dwight D. Eisenhower Presidential Library, Dr. Todd Arrington, historian, writer, veteran, and saying this letter that Dwight Eisenhower had already drafted and had printed it out, said this is to be presented in case we fail, and for him to rely upon in his messaging that I have failed and sent your sons to their death and we accomplished nothing or far short of what we wanted. Thank God he never had to do that. There's another part of the World War II story that I'm sure you're familiar with because there have been movies made about it, and that was getting information as to how to break down the code being exchanged between the German troops. June 4th, 2 days before D-Day, there was one hunter-killer group around the escort carrier USS Guadalcanal stalking U-boats off West Africa. A destroyer, USS Chatelaine, caught this sub on sonar and fired a salvo of bombs. The U-boat broke the surface 700 yards away. Germans rushed out trying to botch the scuttlingers, trying to scuttle the boat, but they could not do it. The sub was flooding, engine still running, circling in a battle at 6 knots. 9 men from the USS Pillsbury chased her down, jumped aboard, climbed in, and they found the Enigma machine. 900 pounds of code books and charters, the key to Germany and its Navy secret communications. But it was only going to be of value if the Germans never knew the Americans had it. So the Navy ran one of the great cover-ups of the war. The sub was towed 1,700 miles to Bermuda, given a fake American name, USS Nemo, and all of the 30,000 soldiers, or should say sailors involved, were sworn to total silence. POWs went to rural Louisiana thinking they had succeeded in scuttling their sub, and the Enigma machine was never recovered. And yet it was, and it made a big difference in the war. 405,000 plus Americans died in World War II on the battlefield, or as they were being removed from the battlefield. They paid a price. Their families paid a price. And with them gone, there were families that never came to be. The haunting sound of taps. Those in our country now who claim this is the bad country, I say leave, go and leave. And I want the door to hit you on the butt on the way out. And honor and appreciate the price paid for this country. Tomorrow's story behind the story, a little bit more personal, a little bit lighter, considerably lighter. Remember when you first learned how to drive, or maybe you were teaching your kids to drive? The story behind the story tomorrow. Coming up our second hour, you do not want to miss it. A lot of fraud talk and exposing it, and we're ready to do so. Remember our pledge, one nation under God.
Podcast of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
John Beal Roofing reminds you we are in the stormy season, and that means if you have even the smallest leak in your roof, you could soon have a much bigger issue. Call the John Beal to make sure that your biggest investment is protected. That call can save you major dollars. If you do get hit during a storm, John Beal has a rapid response team. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 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 John Beal. There's only one place you can get pizza cooked over coals, Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta in Chesterfield Valley. Of course, Napoli Brothers has a great selection of pasta dishes. Between the pizza and pasta, trust me, you will not leave hungry. Then, a few doors down, Lit Cigar Lounge, a wide variety of quality cigars, each offering a unique smoke. That cigar, some premium whiskey, all you need to do is enjoy. Lit Cigar Lounge and Napoli Brothers Pizza and Pasta. Chesterfield Valley. It's that time of season when families, businesses are moving. For local or long distance, I endorse McGuire Moving. Get a date set soon before the schedules are booked. 314-241-0600. 241-0600. McGuire is constantly giving back to our veterans, such as support dogs for our brave. So with McGuire, you're getting excellent service and helping our vets. McGuireMoving.com. So many times, Vincent's Jewelers has helped me surprise someone special. Vincent's locally owned can do the same for you, and you don't have to break the bank to get something really nice, maybe even customized. The smile you're going to get back from that special someone, priceless. Check Vincent'sJewelers.com every day because new items are arriving and there are special deals. Vincent's, my only jeweler. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Let's be candid, honest. No out-of-state law firm can represent you better than Under Law. O-N-D-E-R. Hometown roots, attorneys living right here with you and your family. When you suffer an injury because someone else was negligent, Under Law will make sure the other party takes full responsibility. You'll get full compensation, not a backroom deal worked out with some insurance companies. And of course, we're moving into the stormy season. And again, when you have a legitimate claim, you should be properly compensated. Under Law does not toy around with adjusters, investigators, lawyers trained to cheat you of what is rightfully yours. Under Law has already recovered millions for families across Missouri and Illinois. Under wins. Not just a catchy phrase, it's a fact. So I'll repeat it. Under wins. Under Law. .com. O-N-D-E-R. Underlaw.com. Wins.
This is News Talk STL.